Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're looking at some pretty interesting stuff about U.S. income tax law. We've got this whole stack of materials here making some bold claims, and I gotta say, I'm a little skeptical, but definitely curious.
It is interesting. These sources really challenge some common assumptions about how the whole tax system works. Like, for instance, they suggest that paying income tax is actually not voluntary.
Hold on. Voluntary. That doesn't seem right. The IRS has a reputation for being, well, pretty insistent about collecting those taxes.
Right, that's the common perception. But these sources actually cite several instances where government officials, including like an IRS commissioner, even a senator, have actually stated that income tax payment is voluntary.
Okay. All right. I'm intrigued now, but I'm also a little confused. How can paying taxes be voluntary? I mean, doesn't the government have the power to, make us pay?
Well, that's where things get, kind of nuanced. The sources argue that the 16th Amendment, which is the one that gives Congress the power to levy income taxes, it doesn't actually directly mandate payment. They're saying the key here is the Internal Revenue Code, which outlines the specific rules for income tax.
So are they saying there's like a loophole in how the law is written?
It's not necessarily a loophole, but maybe like a lack of clarity, The sources point out that the Internal Revenue Code, it doesn't explicitly state that individuals are liable for paying income tax. It also doesn't specify any penalties for not paying, which is kind of unusual because the code is very clear about liabilities and penalties for other taxes, like alcohol, tobacco, that kind of thing.
So if the code doesn't actually say we're liable, does that mean we just don't have to pay?
Well, it's not that simple, unfortunately. What these sources are highlighting is this potential discrepancy between how the law is actually written and how it's actually enforced in practice, They suggest that this lack of clarity, it could have some legal implications, especially when it comes to, challenging actions by the IRS.
Okay, I see. I'm starting to see where this is going. But before we go any further, can you back up a bit? Explain what liability means in this whole context.
Sure. Liability in legal terms basically means being legally responsible for something, So in the case of taxes, it means being obligated to pay a certain amount because that's what the law says. The sources are arguing that without a clear statement of liability in the Internal Revenue Code, the legal basis for making people pay income tax, it gets a little shaky, you know what I mean?
Interesting. So they're saying the IRS could be operating on shakier legal ground than we all think.
Yeah. That's the argument they're making. And to kind of back this up, they point to the Privacy Act notice that's in the 1040 booklet, It states that you're only required to file returns for taxes that you're actually liable for. And they contrast this with forms for other taxes, like the form 730, it's for bookmakers. And that form very clearly states the code sections that establish liability for those taxes.
It sounds like they're making a distinction between being required to file a return and actually being legally obligated to pay, right?
Exactly. And they're suggesting this distinction. It might give you a little leverage when you're dealing with the IRS.
Okay. This is all very thought-provoking, but let's be realistic for a second. People get in trouble with the IRS all the time for not paying taxes. So how did these claims about voluntary compliance, how does that actually work in the real world?
Right. Well, the sources acknowledge that, of course. But they argue that many people, they might be complying just out of fear or because they misunderstand the law, not because they're actually legally obligated. And they really emphasize the importance of understanding your constitutional rights, especially the Fourth and Fifth Amendments.
Right. Fourth Amendment is protection against unreasonable searches and seizures. And the Fifth Amendment protects against self-incrimination. How do those apply to taxes, though?
Well, think about it. When you provide tax information, like on a 1040 form, you're basically handing over a very detailed account of all your financial activity, right? And the sources argue that this could be seen as waiving your Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, which potentially opens you up to scrutiny and even prosecution.
That's a little unsettling. Makes filing taxes seem a lot riskier than I thought.
The sources aren't saying you shouldn't file taxes, but they are saying you should be aware of the possible legal, ramifications of all the information you're sharing and how it could be used against you. They even point out that the 1040 booklet, it even has a Miranda warning in it, that thing that says the information you provide can be used against you.
Wow, I never even noticed that before. It really does add another layer of complexity to something I always thought was just a routine obligation. Are they suggesting we should all get a lawyer every time we file our taxes?
Not necessarily. But they do emphasize the importance of understanding the law and being prepared to kind of assert your rights, if necessary. And they highlight this crucial difference between statutes and regulations, which is something that often gets overlooked.
Okay, let's break that down. What's the difference between a statute and a regulation?
Well, a statute is a law that's actually passed by Congress. It has the full weight of law. It's hard to challenge. But a regulation is created by, like, a government agency, like the IRS, to interpret and implement a statute.
So regulations are kind of like the IRS's interpretation of the law.
Exactly. And the key point the sources make is that regulations, they don't always carry the same weight as a statute. They identify three types of regulations: legislative, interpretive, and procedural. And they emphasize that only legislative regulations actually have the force of law.
So wait, are they saying that the IRS could be relying on regulations that aren't even really laws to enforce parts of the tax code?
That's what they're suggesting. They claim that the IRS often uses interpretive or procedural regulations, which don't have the same legal standing, especially when it comes to things like seizures and liens.
Wait, seizures and loons. This is getting serious. Are they saying the IRS is acting illegally?
Whoa, that is a bold claim. And remember, we're just presenting the information from these sources, not necessarily agreeing with everything they say, but it's definitely important to understand their reasoning.
Absolutely. Let's dive into that then. What are their arguments when it comes to IRS seizures and loons?
Well, they claim that the IRS frequently misuses notices of levy, which are those documents that demand payment. They use them to seize assets from individuals and businesses. And they argue that these notices often don't have the proper legal justification. And they say that banks sometimes comply with them just because they're afraid of what the IRS might do, even if the demands are kind of iffy.
So a bank could just hand over my money to the IRS based on a notice that's not even legally sound.
That's exactly what the sources are suggesting. And they offer some specific strategies for challenging these actions, which we can dig into a little bit later.
Whoa, this is a lot to process. I'm starting to see the U.S. income tax system in a whole new light.
It really is fascinating, isn't it? These sources are making us think critically about a system that we often just take for granted, They're pushing us to question our assumptions and understand the nuances of the law, which can be honestly really empowering.
It definitely feels like we're peeling back layers of complexity here and uncovering some pretty surprising stuff. But before we go too deep down the rabbit hole, I think it's time to give our listeners a chance to absorb all of this.
Yeah, good point. It's a lot to take in all at once. We'll pick up this thread and explore the specific steps individuals can take to protect themselves in the next part of our deep dive.
So before the break, we were talking about how the IRS might be using these notices of levy to seize assets, even when the notices might not actually have proper legal backing, and that banks might be going along with it, which is that's pretty concerning.
And the sources actually give a specific example to illustrate this. They describe the situation where a bank got a notice of levy for the accrued wages of a government employee.
Wait, how does a government employee's wages, how's that related to my bank account?
That's the whole point the sources are trying to make. They're claiming that the IRS is taking this document that's really meant for a very specific situation, collecting from government employees, and they're using it much more broadly to seize assets from, regular people.
That sounds really deceptive. Are they saying the IRS is like intentionally misusing this document?
Well, the sources suggest that the IRS often leaves out the part of the law that makes it clear this document is only supposed to be for government employees. And they point out that the language on the back of the notice, it only applies to IRS agents who are physically seizing property, not to situations where a bank is just handing over assets.
So they're basically creating this notice that looks official, but is actually totally misapplied and potentially misleading.
That's the argument. They're using the public's fear of the IRS and, honestly, most people's lack of legal knowledge to pressure people into complying with demands that might not even be legally sound.
That's really unsettling. So what can people actually do about it? If my bank gets one of these notices, do I just have to, give them my money?
The sources recommend taking a proactive approach. They say if your bank gets a notice of levy, you should immediately give them a sworn affidavit saying that you don't think the IRS agent who sent the notice actually had the proper authority to do it.
A sworn affidavit? What's that? Like a mini court document or
So
something.
basically, yeah, it's a written statement that you made under oath, which makes it carry a lot more legal weight than just a regular letter. You can also demand that your bank request proof of what they call delegated authority from the IRS agent. This forces the IRS to actually demonstrate that they're acting within the boundaries of the law.
Okay, delegated authority. What does that even mean?
So it means that the authority to do certain actions, it's been passed down from a higher authority. In this case, the sources argue that only the Secretary of the Treasury actually has the legal right to issue notices of levy, and that this authority has to be specifically given to individual IRS agents. And they claim that the IRS doesn't usually provide evidence of this when they're demanding payment or seizing assets.
So I can basically challenge the IRS agent's authority to take my money.
Right, you're asking them to prove that they have the legal right to make these demands. And the sources claim that the IRS frequently backs down when they're faced with this kind of scrutiny.
Wow. It's like flipping the script, putting the burden of proof on them instead of just complying.
Exactly. It's all about knowing your rights and being willing to actually stand up for them. The sources say the IRS often relies on intimidation and people just not being aware to get their way, and that individuals actually have more power than they might realize.
This is pretty empowering stuff. But what if the bank still tries to hand over my money, even after I've done all this, given them a sworn affidavit, and challenge the IRS agent's authority?
Well, in that case, the sources say you might consider legal action against the bank for breach of contract. They argue that the bank has a responsibility to protect its customers' assets, like a legal duty, and that complying with a potentially illegal IRS demand would violate that duty.
So I could sue my bank for complying with the IRS. That seems like a really drastic step.
It's definitely a bold move, but the sources are trying to emphasize how important it is to know your rights and be willing to take action to protect yourself. They claim that the IRS will often back down when they're met with informed resistance, and that taking a stand can show them that these tactics aren't going to work.
This is all incredibly insightful, but I have to admit, it's also a bit overwhelming. It feels like the IRS is this huge organization. And challenging them can seem like a David versus Goliath situation.
Yeah, and that's why the sources put so much emphasis on knowledge, documentation, and persistence. They argue that by understanding the law and keeping really good records of everything you do with the IRS, you can make it a fairer fight. And they encourage people to be persistent in asserting their rights, even if it means going up against, a lot of bureaucracy.
It's like they're giving us a secret decoder ring to understand how the IRS works.
In a way, yeah, they're trying to make it less mysterious and show us that we don't have to be intimidated by the jargon or empty threats.
This is really helpful information. But I bet our listeners are probably wondering about the practical implications of all this. Like, what are some specific things they can do to protect themselves?
That's a great point. Let's shift gears a bit and talk about some actionable strategies that people can use to safeguard their assets and their rights when they're dealing with the IRS.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been talking about some really interesting stuff regarding the U.S. income tax system. And I gotta say, I'm feeling a lot more informed now, but also a little more on edge, than when we started.
It makes sense to feel that way. We've been poking at some pretty deeply ingrained assumptions about the IRS and, what we think our obligations are as taxpayers. But like we said, knowledge is power, and understanding your rights, it can really give you a sense of control.
For sure. So let's talk about the practical stuff. What can our listeners do to protect themselves when they're dealing with the IRS, like specifically?
Well, the sources are really big on documentation. They say that's your first line of defense. You got to be meticulous about documenting every interaction with the IRS. So phone calls, letters, even if you go to an IRS office in person, dates, times, names of the agents you spoke to, keep track of what was said.
So it's like creating a paper trail, just in case things go bad.
Exactly. This documentation can be super valuable if you ever need to challenge anything the IRS does. It shows them you're not messing around and you're ready to defend yourself.
Okay. What about those sworn affidavits we talked about before? When would you use those?
Sworn affidavits are a powerful tool, because they have legal weight. You want to use them anytime you're disputing something the IRS claims. Like, say you think a notice of levy was issued improperly. You can give your bank a sworn affidavit stating that you don't believe you're legally required to pay what the IRS is asking for.
So it's basically like saying, I swear under oath that this demand is bogus.
Pretty much, yeah. And
Yeah.
because it's sworn, the IRS has to take it seriously.
Gotcha. So we document everything. We use sworn affidavits when we need to dispute something. Anything else? What's the secret weapon?
Remember those delegations of authority we talked about? That's a big one. The sources say that a lot of times the IRS is actually acting without the right authorization. So whenever we get contacted by an IRS agent and they're asking for money, threatening action, don't be afraid to ask them to prove they actually have the authority to be doing that.
So I can just be like, hold on a minute, Mr. IRS agent. Show me the document that says you can demand this from me.
Exactly. You're calling them out, you know, making them show you they're following the rules. And the sort of claim the IRS often backs down when you do that.
It's like we're turning the tables on them, right? Mm. Or making them prove it instead of just going along with whatever they say.
That's the point. You're being assertive. You're demanding transparency. And by doing that, you're not just protecting yourself. You're also holding the IRS accountable.
This is making so much sense. It's like a light bulb just went off in my head. Why don't more people know about this?
It's a great question. The sources suggest that the IRS actually benefits from this whole culture of fear and not knowing much about tax law, you know. People get intimidated. The legal system is complex. They don't want to question authority, so they just go along with what the IRS says, even if it's questionable.
It's like a magic trick. They distract you with the jargon and complicated rules while they're doing something sneaky.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And by talking about these tactics, we're breaking the illusion, giving people the tools to see through the smoke and mirrors and stand up for themselves.
This whole deep dive, it's been a wild ride. Shocking, confusing, honestly, kind of scary at points. But in the end, it's really empowering.
It really shows how powerful knowledge and critical thinking can be. We're not saying anyone should try to cheat on their taxes or break the law, but we do want to encourage people to get informed, know their rights, and be ready to stand up to authority if they need to.
Right. This isn't about dodging taxes. It's about fairness and making sure everything's above board, making the IRS play by the rules.
Exactly. It's about empowering people to deal with the tax system with confidence and stand up for their rights.
This has been an incredibly informative deep dive. Thank you so much for your time and for helping us understand this whole complicated and, you know, kind of scary topic.
You're very welcome. I hope everyone listening found this helpful and maybe feel a little more empowered now.
I'm sure they do. And if anyone wants to learn more, we'll put links to the source materials in the show notes.
Sounds good. It's a topic that deserves more attention and discussion.
And remember, knowledge is power. The more you know about your rights and how this all works, the better off you'll be.
Couldn't agree more. It's been a pleasure being here.
It's been great having you. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of U.S. income tax law. Stay curious, stay informed, and until next time, happy diving.